God of the evil age, know too, the hour and season. 2 Peter 3:1-18. 1. This second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you, in both which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance, 2. That ye may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets, and of the commandment of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior, 3. Knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers, walking after their own lusts, 4. And saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. 5. For this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water. 6. Whereby the world that then was, being overflowed with water, perished. 7. But the heavens and the earth, which are now, by the same word are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. 8. But, beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. 9. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to us ward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. 10. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat, the earth also, and the works that are therein shall be burned up. 11. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness? 12. Looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. 13. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness. 14. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for such things, be diligent that ye may be found of him in peace, without spot, and blameless. 15. And account that the long-suffering of our Lord is salvation, even as our beloved brother Paul also, according to the wisdom given unto him, hath written unto you. 16. As also in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to be understood, which they that are unlearned and unstable rest, as they do also the other scriptures, unto their own destruction. 17. Ye therefore, beloved, seeing ye know these things before, beware lest ye also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness. 18. But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. Amen. 2 Timothy 4:1-8. I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing in his kingdom. 2. Preach the word, be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine. 3. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts shall they heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears. 4. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and shall be turned unto fables. 5. But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. 6. For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. 7. I have fought a good fight, I have finished my course, I have kept the faith. 8. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. Last week we began to study B.R. Branham's sermon, God of this Evil Age, and we focused our attention on his opening prayer, in which he spoke of our being partakers of a special dispensational grace, which grace was to bring us into a condition of becoming. We saw that Branham said this becoming was a result of the Holy Spirit personally delivering a message which has been specifically appointed for this hour in which we live. This message was not only appointed for this hour, but the Holy Spirit himself has come down specifically to bring it to a specific people. We look at 1 Corinthians 1:3 to 10 and saw how Paul was looking forward to this special administration of grace, which grace was to bring about an establishing and a stabilizing of God's elect. This grace would also enrich them in God's logos and knowledge. This enriching we saw is categorically a bringing forth in a greater measure, much like fertilizer is used to help a seed to bring forth more bountifully. Again, in Ephesians 1:15 to 17, we saw Paul speaking of the same thing, how that the spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of God would come to the church to establish and stabilize the elect, getting her ready for adoption. Also in Galatians 4, we see Paul speaking of this same administration of grace, where it takes us up to an understanding that the son needed to a place where he would be about his father's business, to a place where he would be ready for adoption. Finally, we saw in 1 Peter 1:5 and 13, that this grace, not just unmerited favor, but this special administration of grace would come to a specific people at a strategic and epical time, which is a specific season. Today, I would like to continue with his thought as we look at paragraphs 17 to 19. Of God of this evil age, 65 voted or one of me. 17, but in this now, I took this opportunity to express to the people my belief and faith in God, and then bringing you to the hour that we're living in. And by this, it's not appointed to any certain person, creeds, whatever it might be. It's just as I see God's word. And last Sunday, we had a very fine outpouring of the Spirit upon the word. It was very lengthy, and I hated to stay that long. But yet, we don't know what time that we're going to meet for our last time, and we must want to be. I want to be rather, as Paul said of old, I have not shunned to declare to you the whole counsel of God. Jesus said he kept nothing back from his disciples. And as I, so busy with trying to stay under the anointing of the Holy Spirit to find what the hour, the message of the hour is, I sometimes fail to get out and do my duties as a servant of Christ, as a minister. But I've got several men who try to help me to do this, to which I'm thankful for. All my minister brothers, 18. Now, I don't mean to try to keep people. If you out into the land where the message is going could stand and look around this church this morning in the aisles, the nurseries, outside, radios on, and buses, trailers, and so forth, and automobiles, you would see what the problem is. And then each service, many driving by and calling, and so forth. They couldn't get in around. And we need more room so that people can sit and be comfortable. And then to bring down to a message that I think is so vital important, I feel that we ought to everyone be comfortable and seated so we can listen with our pencils and paper and notes and Bible and so forth to take down the notes. But this way I thought I would go back on the time that we have. We're living in and try to bring some of these things that you're going to meet and you're going to need them. 19. If I come here today or any other day or any other minister to try to bring a message to a people, a dying people as we are, and the time so close at hand as I believe for this day, I'd be a hypocrite to try to bring something that I know that you would be pleased with and it'd be against God's word or something to draw a crowd. Or something like that, I wouldn't be what I'm here to be, a minister of Christ. I want to bring something that I think is of vital use to you, not just to be seen, but to think it's something that if I die today, tomorrow it'll be anchored in your heart to go on and serve God. Notice that in paragraph 17, Brother Branham said, I took this opportunity to express to the people my belief and faith, the revelation in God, and then bringing you to the hour that we're living in, I would like to make this point number one, we will call it, one, bringing you to the hour that we're living in. Now, we also read in paragraph 17, where he said, as Paul said of old, I have not shunned to declare to you the whole counsel of God. Then he says, Jesus said he kept nothing back from his disciples. Now, notice here how Brother Branham is setting the stage or condition of this message, the tone, again, then in paragraph 18. He says, and then to bring down to a message that I think is so vital, important, again in paragraph 19, he said, I'd be a hypocrite to try to bring something that I know that you would be pleased with, and it'd be against God's word, or something to draw a crowd, or something like that. And then he says, I want to bring something that I think is of vital use to you, not just to be seen, but to think it's something that if I die today, tomorrow it'll be anchored in your heart to go on and serve God. Point number two, we will call it bringing back something vital. And finally, let's look at paragraph 18 again, and I want you to notice how Branham says, I feel that we ought to everyone be comfortable and seated so we can listen with our pencils and paper and notes and Bible and so forth to take down the notes. And then he adds, and you're going to need them now in paragraph 19. He stresses our knowing this vital message and being anchored in it after his departure. I want to bring something that I think is of vital use to you, not just to be seen, but to think it's something that if I die today, tomorrow it'll be anchored in your heart to go on and serve God. We will call this point number three. Three, it's up to you to study it. So now to recap the three points we shall study today, we see in point number one, bringing you to the hour that we're living in. Point number two, bringing to us something vital. And point number three, it's up to you to study it because you are going to need it. Now, let's take point number one. He speaks of bringing us to the hour in which we are living. You know, Brother Branham said in his sermon, God in Simplicity 63, Nil Triu Sevenam, Paragraph 55. Many miss him by the way he reveals himself. Now, man has their own ideas of what God ought to be and what God is going to do. And as I have made the old statement many times, that man still remains man. Man is always giving God praise for what he did do and always looking forward to what he will do and ignoring what he's doing. See? And it has always been that way. We read of this in Matthew 16, 1-4. The Pharisees also with the Sadducees came and tempting desired him that he would show them a sign from heaven. No, he answered and said unto them, when it is evening, you say, it will be fair weather, for the sky is red. 3. And in the morning, it will be foul weather today, for the sky is red and lowering. O ye hypocrites, ye can discern the face of the sky, but can ye not discern the signs of the times? 4. A wicked and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign, and there shall no sign be given unto it, but the sign of the prophet Jonas. And he left them and departed. Here we see the Pharisees were looking for something concrete, something visible, believing full well in their hearts he couldn't do it. But Jesus tells them they are always looking for a sign, and they can look about them in nature and can predict fair weather by looking at the signs and conditions in the evening time, but they fail to see the day and hour in which they are living. He then said the only sign that was necessary was the sign of Jonas. So what was the sign of Jonas? Well, let's read it for ourselves. Jonah 1:17. Now the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah, and Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights. Notice that Jonah was in the belly of the whale 3 days and three nights, predicting he would be in the belly of the earth 3 days and three nights. Notice it was a resurrection sign they failed to see, and so too is it in this hour, but they failed to recognize it. Now, remember last week we looked at the epochal and strategic time involved with the dispensation of grace that is to bring us into the image of Christ. Let's turn again to 1 Peter 1, 5 and 13 and read 1 Peter 1, 5 to 13, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. 6. Wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations. 7. That the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. 8. Whom having not seen, ye love, in whom, though now ye see him not, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. 9. Receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. 10. Of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you. 11. Searching what, or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ which was in them did signify, when it testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow. 12. Unto whom it was revealed that not unto themselves, but unto us they did minister the things which are now reported unto you by them that have preached the gospel unto you with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven, which things the angels desire to look into. 13. Wherefore gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation, the apocalypsis, or unveiling of Jesus Christ. Notice that in verses 10 and 11, it speaks of the prophets longing for this hour, searching to know the hour, but not able to do so until it was upon them. In 2 Peter 1:10 to 21, I want you to notice there is to come a word which shall point out the entrance, and it will be a more sure word of prophecy because it has already been shown by vision, and so too will the ministry of the appearing be made known, and there will be no guesswork because I will be vindicated. The 10, wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure, for if ye do these things, ye shall never fall. 11. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. 12. Wherefore I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, though ye know them, and be established in the present truth. 13. I think it meet, as long as I am in this tabernacle, to stir you up by putting you in remembrance. 14. Knowing that shortly I must put off this my tabernacle, even as our Lord Jesus Christ hath showed me. 15. Moreover, I will endeavor that ye may be able after my decease to have these things always in remembrance. 16. For we have not followed cunningly devised fables when we made known unto you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of his majesty. 17. For he received from God the Father honor and glory when there came such a voice to him from the excellent glory, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. 18. And this voice which came from heaven we heard when we were with him in the Holy Mount. 19. We have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto you do well that you take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place until the day dawn, and the day star arise in your hearts. 20. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. 21. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. And notice it is the present truth that ushers us into the entrance. And we're not talking about a place, we're talking about a who, for Jesus Christ is the door or entrance, as we see in John 10:9. As Jesus himself says, I am the door, by me if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out, and find pasture. Now, notice in dealing with point number one, where Brother Branham said he is bringing us to the hour in which we live. In other words, he is pointing us to the day and the hour in which we live, the day and hour of our visitation. And remember, in point number two, he says, this is vital and we must know it. And in point number three, he tells us, therefore, we must study. Why? In order to be ready. Jesus lets us know how important it is to be ready and how important it is to be aware of the day and hour, as we see in Luke 12:42-56. Luke 12:42-56. And the Lord said, who then is that faithful and wise steward whom his Lord shall make ruler over his household, to give them their portion of meat in due season. 43. Blessed is that servant whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing. 44. Of a truth I say unto you, that he will make him ruler over all that he hath. 45. And if that servant say in his heart, my Lord delayeth his coming, and shall begin to beat the men servants and maidens, and to eat and drink, and to be drunken. 46. The Lord of that servant will come in a day when he looketh not for him, and at an hour when he's not aware, and will cut him in sunder, and will appoint him his portion with the unbelievers. 47. And that servant, which knew his Lord's will, and prepared not himself, neither did according to his will, shall be beaten with many stripes. 48. But he that knew not, and did commit things worthy of stripes, shall be beaten with few stripes. For unto whomsoever much is given, of him shall be much required. And to whom men have committed much, of him they will ask the more. 49. I am come to send fire on the earth, and what will I, if it be already kindled? 50. But I have a baptism to be baptized with, and how am I straitened till it be accomplished? 51. Suppose ye that I am come to give peace on earth, I tell you, nay, but rather division. 52. For from henceforth there shall be five in one house divided, three against two, and two against three. 53. The father shall be divided against the son, and the son against the father, the mother against the daughter, and the daughter against the mother, the mother-in-law against her daughter-in-law, and the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. 54. And he said also to the people, when you see a cloud rise out of the west, straightway you say, there cometh a shower. And so it is. 55. And when you see the south wind blow, you say, there will be heat, and it cometh to pass. 50. Ye hypocrites, ye can discern the face of the sky and of the earth, but how is it that ye do not discern this time? Notice again that Jesus admonishes us to be aware of the day and the hour. Then in Matthew 24, 32 to 51, we see Jesus again warn us to be aware of the day and the hour. Matthew 24, 32, 51. Now learn a parable of the fig tree. When his branch is yet tender and putteth forth leaves, you know that summer is nigh. 33. So likewise, when ye shall see all these things, know that it is near, even at the doors. 34. Verily I say unto you, this generation shall not pass till all these things be fulfilled. 35. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. 36. But of that day and hour knoweth no man. No, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. 37. But as the days of Noe were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. 38. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day that Noe entered into the ark. 39. And knew not until the flood came and took them all away. So shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. 40. Then shall two be in the field, the one shall be taken and the other left. 41. Two women shall be grinding at the mill, the one shall be taken and the other left. 42. Watch therefore, for ye know not what hour your Lord doth come. 43. But know this, that if the goodman of the house had known in what watch the thief would come, he would have watched and would not have suffered his house to be broken up. 44. Therefore be ye also ready, for in such an hour as ye think not the Son of Man cometh. 45. Who then is a faithful and wise servant, whom his Lord hath made ruler over his household, to give them meat in due season? 46. Blessed is that servant, whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing. 47. Verily I say unto you, that he shall make him ruler over all his goods. 48. And if that evil servant shall say in his heart, my Lord delayeth his coming. 49. And shall begin to smite his fellow servants, and to eat and drink with the drunken. 50. The Lord of that servant shall come in a day when he looketh not for him, and in an hour that he is not aware of, and shall cut him asunder, and appoint him his portion with the hypocrites. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Notice the parable is all about being aware of the day and the hour, so that you will not miss out on what is supposed to take place in that hour. Now, Brother Branham said that this message was vital for the bride to catch it, that she needed to study it, for certainly the conditions he is talking about will become more pronounced after his departing. We see this also in Acts 20, 26 to 27. Wherefore I take you to record this day that I am pure from the blood of all men. 27, for I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. This is what Brother Branham quoted us in paragraph 17. We see in Revelations 3, 14 to 21, that the people are blind and spiritually naked. And unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, these things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. 15, I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou wert cold or hot. 16, so then because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. 17, because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. 18, I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. 19, as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. 20, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him, and he with me. 21. To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and am set down with my Father in his throne. In 2 Corinthians 4, 1 to 6, we see that the God of this evil age has blinded the minds of them that believe not to the glorious gospel. 1. Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. 3, but if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. 4, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. 5, for we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. 6, for God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts, to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. In 2 Thessalonians 2, 1 to 6. We see this man of sin become Satan incarnate, the God of this world. 1. Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, and by our gathering together unto him, 2. That ye be not soon shaken in mind, or be troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter as from us, as that the day of Christ is at hand. 3. Let no man deceive you by any means. For that day shall not come, except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. 4. Who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God, or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. 5. Remember ye not that when I was yet with you, I told you these things? 6. And now ye know what withholdeth, that he might be revealed in his time. In 2 Thessalonians 2, 10 to 12, we see the effects of the people's unpreparedness. 10. And with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they received not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. 11. And for this cause, God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie. 12, that they all might be damned who believed not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. Revelations 13:8. And all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him, whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. Revelations 13:6-18. And he causeth all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their forehead. 17. And that no man might buy or sell, save he that had the mark, or the name of the beast, or the number of his name. 18. Here is wisdom. Let him that hath understanding count the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man, and his number is 666. Finally, we see the condition of the people in Luke 21:34-36. And take heed to yourselves, lest at any time your hearts be overcharged with surfeiting and drunkenness and cares of this life, and so that day come upon you unawares. 35. For as a snare shall it come on all them that dwell on the face of the whole earth. 36. Watch ye therefore, and pray always, that ye may be accounted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass, and to stand before the Son of Man. The word overcharge was translated from the Greek word bareo, which speaks of a sort of headache and dizziness resultant from drunkenness. And the care of this life are the anxieties and worries about what may happen. In conclusion, let's turn in our Bibles to Ephesians 4, 1-2, which says, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that ye walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called to, with all lowliness and meekness, with longsuffering, forbearing one another in love. 3, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. 4, there is one body and one Spirit, even as ye are called in one hope of your calling. 5, one Lord, one faith, one baptism. 6, one God and Father of all, who is above all, and through all, and in you all. 7. But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. 8. Wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive, and gave gifts unto men. 9. Now that he ascended, what is it but that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth? 10. He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. 11. And he gave some apostles, and some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers. 12. For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. 13. Till we all come in the unity of the faith, and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. 14. That we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men, in cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. 15. But speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. 16, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. 17, this I say therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind. 18, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart. 19. Who being past feeling have given themselves over unto lasciviousness to work all uncleanness with greediness. 20. But ye have not so learned Christ. 21. If so be that ye have heard him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus. 22. That ye put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts. 23. And be renewed in the spirit of your mind. 24. and that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. 25. Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. 26. Be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. 27. Neither give place to the devil. Notice how all this rolls right on into chapter 5, where Paul speaks on our being submissive to the word. Let us pray.